Matthew 16, verse 18 reads this way. It says, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of gathering together in your house, Lord, to worship you. We thank you, Lord, for the truth that where two or three are gathered together in your name, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, we ask for your blessing. We pray that you would guide the service tonight, that we might hear from you. And, Lord, that you would strengthen our faith and help us to grow in your grace, that we might be the witnesses you've called us to be. Again, bless tonight, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there are a lot of things in the world today that are clamoring for our attention, and none of those things should supersede our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But it's important for the child of God to understand the vehicle that God had, not just ordained, but created, really, to glorify him, and that is the local New Testament church. And today, I'm afraid a lot of people do not really understand what the church is or when it started. I don't want you to answer this, but this is important because it will determine our outlook on what we think about the church. First of all, you might be reminded that the Lord gave his blood for the local New Testament church, and that's found in Acts chapter 20, verse 28. But also that he started it while he was here on earth. And if you're not careful, what happens is there's all these kind of ideas of the church being invisible. You didn't know that, did you? And so we know that the local New Testament church is not the building, but it's the people. So we are in a local specific place, location, called out assembly that gathers together to worship the Lord and to glorify him. And God places us in his church just for that specific reason, and that we would encourage one another in the Lord and help one another in the faith. And so this is important. So tonight, here's the question. When did Jesus begin his church? That's an important question. We're going to look at some scripture verses tonight. This is going to be a little bit more of a doctrinal type study, because I'm afraid that in the day in which we live, people have no idea what the church is, and therefore no commitment to the church, to the Lord through his local New Testament church. So let's look at a couple of things here at the very beginning, what the Lord did with his disciples before he even made the statement that he was going to build his church. Look at verse 13 there in Matthew 16. It says, "When Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them," Jesus, "But whom say ye that I am?" That's the important question. Let me pose that question to you tonight. Who do you say the Lord is tonight? Is he your Savior? Is he your God? Is he God in the flesh? A lot of people say, well, he was just a good man. Is that the truth? No, it's not. He was God. I mean, he was a good man, right? And he was a prophet, but he was more than that. He was God in the flesh. And so he says, "Who do you say that I am?" Verse 16, "Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then notice the response from the Lord. "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah." Why is he blessed? Because he knew who he was. But not only that, he tells him something else. "For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." It takes God to bring us to the place to where we know who God is. Listen, and with that comes reverence, reverential fear. In other words, not that I'm afraid of my God. Aren't you glad that our Heavenly Father is not an abusive father? Have you ever seen a dog? We think of a dog or an animal that's been abused. They're afraid of everybody, aren't they? I mean, they kind of, you know how they hunker down and you walk up to them to pet them and they're afraid because what? They've been beaten and they've been abused. It would be a sad state to walk up to a child and them do the very same thing. And yet I'm afraid to say I've known children when I was in my youth that have been abused and their fathers maybe would do unkind things to them out of just, you know, their anger, and maybe their lifestyle had just caused them to be abusive because of the things that they were in. But that's not our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father opens up His arms and says, come. And you know what? We run into our Father's arms. I love it. When my children were smaller and younger, when I would come in, they'd come looking for Dad. Isn't that good? They hadn't seen Dad, and they weren't one bit afraid of me. And that's a good thing. And so likewise, he says, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now notice what he says here in verse 18. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Now what you have to realize there is when he said thou art Peter, he says you're the little rock. Then he says, but upon this rock, he's not talking to Peter anymore. He's talking about himself, the big rock. He says, but upon this rock, right, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Upon this rock, I will build my church. Now, what we need to understand, and a lot of people misunderstand, is that word means to dome up. The foundation's already been laid. Who's that? The Lord. The pillars have been set. Those are the apostles, and we'll see that here in just a moment. But it is emphatically important that we understand what the church is all about. Otherwise, there'll be no commitment to it. There'll be no understanding of it, and it'll be obscure. The devil would love for us not to know what the church is really all about. But we're going to let the Word of God tonight point to us and show us that what's involved in constituting a local New Testament church that the Lord started during His earthly ministry. One of the things that's necessary for the church to have, can you guess? Is the gospel. If the church does not have the gospel, the Word of God, the truth, the salvation understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ, they have nothing. We're going to flip around through the scriptures here in Matthew. Go over to Mark chapter 1, Mark chapter 1, verse 1. And I want you to see what the Word of God says here. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, here's what you have to understand. There are a lot of people. Now, here's what a church is. The word church, the Greek word is ekklesia, which is a called out assembly. There's a lot of churches or ekklesias or assemblies. There are governments that gather together for assembly. That would be also known as an ekklesia. But there's a lot of people today that think that the Lord's church started on the day of Pentecost, and that the church is invisible, mystical, and we don't know where it's at. Well, that couldn't be further from the truth. When you read the scriptures, here's what you're going to find, that the body meets in the same place, and that the members know each other and are to encourage each other. And if we could just come to this church one day and then go to another church the next day and another church, the body's not going to last. I mean, if we start removing parts from the body, there's not going to be much left of it. If it's going to come and go, it's not going to work that way. If you had a plant and you wanted it to grow, as soon as it was in the shade, would it be a good idea to root it up, dig it up, and move it out to where the sun is at? And then when the sun keeps moving that plant around, it's never going to establish its roots or its foundation. And so it's important to understand that the Lord started His church during His earthly ministry. So the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, this is the beginning of the gospel, and this is during, before the time of Pentecost. So the church had the gospel when the Lord was in His earthly ministry. Then secondly, I want you to notice that they were baptized believers. The apostles had been the disciples of John the Baptist before they followed the Lord, and this is important. And they had an organization, and they were baptized by the Lord. And we're going to see this. They were organized. And turn with me, if you would, over to the book of Acts, chapter 1. And I want you to see something here. I want to spell out a couple of things. They were baptized believers, and they'd been baptized by John the Baptist. They were organized. They even had a treasurer, right? They had a treasurer. And they even had a business meeting to select Judas's replacement, right? And now here's what happens. Sometimes, some people, now I have a C.I. Scofield reference Bible. C.I. Scofield was of the opinion And he's on shaky ground here. I believe he was saved. I believe he knew the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. But he believed that the church started, I've got little notes in here, man's notes, that the church started on the day of Pentecost. There's a problem with that, and you're going to see that here tonight. But Dr. C.I. Schofield said that, oh no, it started on the day of Pentecost. That cannot be, and you'll see that here in just a moment. So go with me here, Acts chapter 1, look at verse 21. So here's their business meeting, and they're getting, in fact, let's back up a little bit here in verse 20, and you'll see that the Lord even knew this was going to happen back in the Psalms. So, verse 20 says this, "For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take." Now here's what Dr. Schofield says. He says, well, they made a mistake in choosing another apostle because the Lord chose Paul later on down the road, and that was the 12. No, he's wrong in that, and you'll see that here in just a moment. Look at verse 21. He says, "Wherefore of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us." So where were they at? They were with the Lord during his earthly ministry. And then he says this in verse 22, "Beginning at the baptism of who? John." John who? John the Baptist. "Notice, unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection." So here's the criteria. In order to be an apostle, because that's who they're replacing, Judas, they had to be baptized by John the Baptist during the Lord's earthly ministry. Remember, he died first before the Lord. He was beheaded before the Lord died and was resurrected. So he had to accompany with them during the Lord's earthly ministry. He had to come in and go out. So these two candidates right here, in fact, look at verse 23, "And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, and who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias." So these are the two candidates that they're deciding, and they chose Matthias. All right. So we are in Acts chapter 2, and this is before the day of Pentecost. Now, Paul doesn't come on down till after the stoning of Stephen, which was in Acts chapter 7. So Paul is not even anywhere on the program. So I want to dispel right now for you tonight that Matthias was duly elected by the local New Testament church that existed during the Lord's earthly ministry. All right, so follow with me here. And go over to Acts chapter 6, and this is before Acts chapter 7. You knew that though, right? 6 comes first, then 7. And look at verse 2, Acts chapter 6, verse 2. Now watch this. "And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. And the 12 called the multitude of the disciples." Now, who's the 12? Matthias. Do you see that the Holy Spirit is acknowledging Matthias's position? He's amongst the 12 now. He was not saying he was not duly elected. He was not brought up the right way, or the disciples got out in front. The Holy Spirit is saying the disciples. And the 12, remember, they lost one, and they replaced them, so now they're 12 again. So it says here in verse 2, "The 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." So these 12 got together and said, hey, look, you guys need to appoint some deacons, right? That's what they're saying. It's important for us to be about the ministration of the Word of God. And so Acts chapter 6, verse 2 really recognizes Matthias. In fact, let's just continue on. Notice what it says here. "Wherefore, brethren, looking out among you, 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Porcius, and Nicanor, and Timon, and all of these." And look at verse 6. "When they set before who? Whom they set before the apostles." So this Matthias now is one of the apostles. the 12 that were appointed. And so I want you to see here that that he is included, and he was selected and placed right. And again, remember the criteria, the credentials had to come from beginning with the baptism of John and accompanying with the Lord during his earthly ministry. This was a prerequisite before they can consider the candidate. Not only that, but they had the same head of the church as the church has today, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. They had the ordinance of baptism. They had the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. And they also had the Great Commission. Imagine that. Go over to the book of Matthew just for a moment, the Gospel of Matthew. And I want you to look at chapter 28 and look at verse 19. Matthew 28, 19. Remember this? Jesus says to them, we call this the Great Commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. Isn't that the ordinance of the church? But wait a minute. If the church was not in existence, this commission died with the apostles. It wasn't given to us as the church. But that cannot be. That cannot be, because that is the ministry of the local New Testament church. That is one of the two ordinances. The Lord's Supper, is it not? And the baptizing disciples. So he says this, verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that what we do? I baptize thee, my brother or my sister, in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So they had possessed the ordinance of baptism. They also had the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. And so with that said, I'm going to skip in my notes here just for a moment. Let me call your attention over here to 1 Corinthians so you can see this. 1 Corinthians and chapter 11. Now we're talking with the Apostle Paul here. The Apostle Paul is involved right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. And now the Apostle Paul is telling the church how to follow the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. Verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 11 says this, for I have received of myself? No, I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night. Well, what night might that be? Oh, well, he says, in which he was betrayed, took bread. So question, was the Lord alive on the earth? Was this before the resurrection or after the resurrection? So he is giving us the understanding, the explanation, and the definition of the Lord's Supper and when it took place and who it was, the one that administrated it. Who started the Lord's Supper? The Lord himself. Who started the Lord's church? The Lord himself. Who instituted the institution of being baptized? The two ordinances of the local New Testament church. So notice this. Verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. You go to churches, it's not like you have to do this, but you've seen the Lord's Supper table, this do in remembrance of me. So the ordinance is a memorial supper, is it not? All right. So, and then it says verse 25, and after the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament. Oh, the New Testament church. Okay, where was the Lord at? With his disciples during his earthly ministry. So he says, this cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. So, and then he says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat of the bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily, so it's an important thing, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. So do you think this is a serious ordinance? That's why we have what's called closed communion, not close. Now, what we do is we tell the people that come on the time that we observe that, if they're not a member, if the Lord has not led them to be a member of Northwood Baptist Church, not just all churches, this one specifically, please don't participate in that because it's for this specific local body. Not that they're not in the same family if they're a saved child of God. They are. Listen, why? Why? Because you and I encourage one another. You and I know who each other are. We can pray for each other. And the pastor should have the right relationship with the rest of the church members. And we can encourage and help and administer and minister to. But if we don't, if it's just somebody flying by, we don't know who they are. And so that's not what makes up that. That's not the membership of the Lord. This is an ordinance of the local New Testament church, the specific locale, as well as baptism. You wouldn't be baptized here and go to another church. Why would you take the Lord's Supper and go to another church? Oh, we're all in the same family. That's true. But listen, we need to be careful that we follow God's prescription and not deviate to the right or to the left. This is important. And that's where we get this universal church idea that it doesn't matter. It does matter. We're not all part of the same local body. We are all in the family of God. And one day when we're called up together, we'll all be together in that regard. But right now, he has his church that are represented by churches. You'll find that in the Word of God. And unto the churches, what are these churches? They're in different locations. I say unto them. But then he says, I have my church, right? And so that's his assembly. That's what the word church, ecclesia, means, assembly. All right, so we find here that they had the same head, they had the same ordinance of baptism, they had the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, and they had the Great Commission, and they met together as a church for prayer, and they served with the Lord during his earthly ministry. Now, what you're right here in the book of Corinthians. Back up over to the book of Acts, and go back to chapter 2. And the grammar plays an important part. It helps us understand things here. Now, Acts chapter 2 is the chapter where Pentecost takes place, right? Now, when Jesus said, wait for me, wait, and then you're going to receive power, and then you're going to be witnesses, that's dunamos, that's dynamite, power. And so it was the empowering of the church, but it was not the birth of the church. It had already been in existence. So can you add to something that doesn't exist? No. If you added to something, that means there must have been something there. Would you say, oh, I added a bank account today? Well, you might could say you added a bank account, but you didn't add anything. You know what I'm saying? You didn't have anything before, if that's a new bank account. But if you're adding to your account, obviously you had something before. All right? So you're right here in chapter 2. And look with me, if you will, in verse 47. In fact, look at verse 41. I'm sorry. They're getting saved. 3,000 souls were added. Verse 41, Acts 2:41 says this, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. There was an addition made to the church. Look at verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the what? He added to the church. He didn't say, and praise God, the church was born. He said he added to the church. The Lord, listen, he knows what he's saying. So if he added to the church had to be in existence. He added to the church daily such as should be saved. So he's doing the addition. He's adding to the church. All right. Now, back up to the Gospel of Matthew again with me. And look at chapter 18, Matthew 18. Now the Lord is addressing an issue here, and he's teaching the disciples, and he's wanting them to understand how to deal with problems. And in fact, look at verse 10. He says, "Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Isn't that good? Now listen, this is just a side note. But these little people, these young people, have angels. So if you ever, you know, about guardian angels and things of that nature, there you go, ministering angels. They minister to us, and they minister to them as well. And then it says this, verse 11, for the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them is gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and go into the mountains and seek that which has gone astray? And of course the answer is yes. And so, verse 14, even so, it is not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. Excuse me. So it's God's will that little people, young people, come to the Lord. Okay? Verse 15, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee. Okay, now we're moving to another problem. All right. Now remember, he said, I'll build my church in chapter 16. And that's what he's doing here. Now he's giving some instruction here. Moreover, if thy brother trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the future church. It's not here yet. No, he says, tell it to the church. Where might the church be? It's in existence. He's telling them, you got to tell it to the church. But if you neglect to hear the what? The church. Let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. So he says, verily, verily, I say, and you never once does he say, the church is going to come. And he says, it's here. And he's given the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper to them. They were already baptized disciples of John. So all this is going right. Now, a little bit more proof for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And he's even using Paul for those that maybe have a hard time with Paul. Matthias was legitimate. 1 Corinthians 12, he's talking about the body of Christ. Look at verse 12. He says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Now listen, it's one whole body. It's not just parts. It's not just a part of a body. It's a whole body. What church is that? The Corinthian church. And remember what he talked about the members, the individual members. We're not going to get into it, but you know, the eye. Oh, if I were only the eye, or I'm just a foot, or I'm just a toe. He says, no, listen. In fact, he says, verse 23, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Those things that we think might be little to be thought of, God says, oh no, I see them as very important. I promise you, as little as your little toe might be, in the middle of the night, you stub it, it's going to get your attention, all of it, right? Not just some of it. All right. But watch this. Look at verse 28. And God hath set some in the church. First what? Apostles. Secondarily prophets. Thirdly teachers. And after that, miracles. Then gifts of healings. Helps. Governments. Diversities of tongues. And he lists all these other things that had followed in the church. But the very first thing that he had placed in the local New Testament church were apostles. Can it be any clearer? So when did the Lord start his local New Testament church? It didn't start on the day of Pentecost. It was empowered with the power of the Holy Spirit, but it began during the Lord's earthly ministry. That is paramount, or you've got the wrong church. You will have the wrong church. It won't be the Lord's anyway. All right? So we back up and we say, we understand, we're not going to go back there, we already looked at it, that the Lord's Supper was given to the church by the Lord Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry, and Paul gave that account in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 25. Now, I tell you that because a lot of people do not understand the Lord's local New Testament church. And one last thought here that I think is important. Back up to the book of Acts, chapter 20. And this is important to see. And there's a good truth here as well. I've looked at this verse. You've heard me quote this verse and share this verse many times, I think. But this popped out to me a little clearer. So Acts chapter 20, verse 28. This is revealing the deity of Christ right here. In case you wondered about the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to see it here. Verse 28, "And take heed therefore unto yourselves," as he's speaking to pastors, "and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Whose church? The church of God. Who's he? God. "Which God purchased with his own blood." So is the church important to the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father? Absolutely. Is it important to understand when it started? Absolutely. You're going to get the wrong one. Listen, I believe this. If people trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're in the family of God. There's no doubt about it. But God has ordained His church to glorify Him world without end. One more thought here. You're right here. Go to the book of Ephesians just for a moment. Chapter 3, just for one moment. And it's speaking about God. And he talks about in verse 19 being filled with all the fullness of God. Let me ask you this question here while we're right there. God has called us to be saints, has he not? Sanctified individuals by his grace. That's his work. And then notice this. Look at verse 17. And I want you to see that he's glorified through the church right here. And that he is doing this work. Verse 17. "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love." The love of God. We can be rooted and grounded in love. It's not left to us. God did not leave it to us. He wanted it to be sure, so he's doing the work. All right? That's his plan. "Rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend," and this is important, "not with some or just a few, but with all saints." Does God want all saints to comprehend this? Yes. "What is the breadth and length and depth and height?" That's all, every dimension you can think of. "And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." Now that's a tall order. How is that going to happen? "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." Isn't that good? Ask him. Whether you think he can do it or not, because he can do above what you can think. "According to the power that worketh in us." Not ours. His. This is how he can say this. "Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages." Would that mean today? This age? "World without end. Amen." In spite of what the world is doing and wanting to do, God's church can be glorified. In spite of that. There has always been opposition to the truth. But that's not our focus. Our God is our focus. Our Savior is our focus. And he says, I can glorify myself through you. Listen, that's why it is a crying shame for a child of God to choose defeat. In other words, they say, I can't do it. I'm just too weak. Well, that you're not saying anything new to God or to any other believer. I will be the first one to tell you, without God, I can do absolutely nothing. And anything that good that comes out of what God does through me, I will tell you, I know it's him or it's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. This is not in my mind. It was never in my mind to do the things that God is doing for me and through me for his honor and glory. All I have to do is say, Lord, help me to believe that it's your work and that it's your church and that you have, listen, God has seen fit from eternity past. Did you see that? Listen, in the Psalms it was written that Judas was going to betray the Lord. God knew already, and he had it taken care of. Does he know you and I? Did he know us before we even came into existence? And he says, I have chosen to glorify myself in your life. Here's the contingency. If you will have it, and if you will ask, and if you will just present yourselves a living sacrifice. He's not asking us to do it. He's saying, just give me. Just present yourself to me. Give yourself to me and ask me to do it, and I will. And watch what he will do. If the world and if Columbia, Missouri ever needed to see the grace of God in our lives, it's today. More now than ever. More now than ever. So here's the question. Do you want God to do his work in you? He set everything up from eternity past. He said, here, I'm laying it out. Now, do you want in on the plan? And that's your choice. That's our choice. And God says, if you'll choose me, hang on. I'm going to show you great and mighty things. If you'll just follow me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, the understanding it brings to our hearts and minds. Lord, the significance and the importance of your church in your heart and mind and your plan for it. And Lord, I pray that you would bless tonight and that you would just draw our hearts closer to you and to one another, and that we would experience your grace and what you want to reveal to us and what you want to do in and through us for your honor and glory and our blessing. Bless the invitation, Lord, and may we draw our hearts and may we open our hearts to you as you draw us closer to you and to one another. Bless again, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.